Final hour underway. Welcome in. Happy Thirsty Thursday. So happy to be here with you for one more until Blaine and Mickey take over and get you through the rest of your afternoon before 3HL guides you through your evening. We welcome your participation as always. 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045. We're talking about offensive identity. And frankly, we'll spend some time on the defense as well. For the Tennessee Titans, an incredible test, as you heard Ramon Foster and Mike Keith spending some time on there, heading to Seattle. I could not be more excited to witness that stadium for myself. Of course, I'll have pregame coverage for you. I'll start your pregame coverage off with the Lee Company countdown to kickoff at, what is it? It's a 3:25 kick, so I think I'm on at what, 1 o'clock? I'll figure that out. Make sure I let you guys know tomorrow when we're out at the Fight DMD golf situation. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. 615-737-1045. You're going to hear from Ryan Tannehill and Greg Cosell momentarily. But I got to tell you, Titans fans, I got to let you in on a little secret. September 22nd, all Tennessee Hardee's location will introduce something called a hot honey sauce. Sweet heat flavor is added to their hand-breaded chicken sandwich and hand-breaded chicken and waffle sandwich. You can try this lunch game changer for a limited time and feed your happy only at Hardee's. Now, Hardee's was kind enough. So this is only available on September 22nd, starting September 22nd. Now, because we have inside access here at 104.5 The Zone, Hardee's brought us a bunch of these hot honey hand-breaded chicken sandwiches and chicken and waffle sandwiches. Lucas, you had one. What was your what was your findings in your taste testing?
Very good
research.
Yes, 8 out of 10.
Eight out of ten.
That was really good.
That's high praise.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fast food guy. I have been lately because of the late nights of doing games and coming home at 10
o'clock. Welcome to radio, bud.
But no, it was really good. The chicken's really good. And that hot honey sauce, I might need to nab a couple of those to take home on my way out.
Well, there's enough of them.
There's enough.
There's 110 of them that showed up at the door. So thank you thank you to Hardee's for providing us lunch. And make sure you go check it out September the 22nd at Hardee's. All Tennessee Hardee's locations, they also help present our Lee Company countdown to kickoff coverage ahead of Titans games. So, speaking of Ryan Tannehill, speaking of the Tennessee Titans, he spoke to the media yesterday. When he spoke to the media yesterday, he was obviously asked about the poor performance on offense yet again. This is after he's had the opportunity to watch the tape and see where they needed to make improvements. And Ryan Tannehill's overall assessment was this.
Yeah, I think ultimately it just comes down to getting back to playing our game. You know, I think that at times, we didn't play to our standard, obviously, with the effort, the finish, the passion. Got to get back to that a little bit. You know, they got off to a good start, and tip your hat to them. But at the end of the day, we have to dig back into to what we believe in this building, in this program, and come out swinging, come out fighting. So look forward to the opportunity this week for our guys to go finish, to play fast, to play aggressive, to push piles, to move people in the run game and get that momentum going.
That was Ryan Tannehill yesterday. So on face value, that might sound like coach speak. That might sound like quarterback speak, right? But let's really peel it back. So let's take him at his word. Let's say that the Tennessee Titans are going to get back to their offensive game on Sunday against Seattle on the road in an incredibly hostile and borderline violent environment that will take place against the Seahawks. So what is the Tennessee Titans offensive game? What do they need to get back to? Well, they need to get back to a successful running game. They need to get back to run action and play action passing predicated off Derrick Henry outside zone runs and things of the like. They need to get back to out physicaling and out toughing. Neither of those are words, but you know what I'm saying. They need to be better at the point of attack, at the line of scrimmage. They need to be a more physical football team. And instead, frankly, they look soft against the Cardinals. So, on the latest episode of The Install with Greg Cosell that airs every Wednesday in your favorite podcast app, do us a favor and leave us 5-star reviews. We would greatly appreciate them. Greg and myself Greg and I break down the film. Now there's week one film to break down, right? So we took a look at the Titans' offense, and I said, Greg, you know, they had terrible success or lack of success on early downs. They truly struggled, and it put them in third and six plus more often than not in those early situations, certainly in the first quarter, to where they had to abandon their running game and their play-action passing game as a result. I said, Greg, what went wrong? And this was Cosell's answer.
They had the first quarter.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good at it. Everybody loves it. And this was a game where they started out with their normal game plan approach, Buck. It was Henry run game at a base personnel, 12, 21 with the fullback blessing game, even some 22 where they had the fullback and two tight ends. But there were too many blocking breakdowns. They couldn't get anything going in the run game at all. I mean, it started with the first play of the game. When Jones just with quickness beat Taylor Lewan inside and tackled Henry for a 3-yard loss. I believe that was the first play of the game.
That's correct.
And that was, you know, that was their staple outside zone run. I mean, they played Titans football. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
So once the, and plus because their defense struggled, the flow of the game and the score took them out of continuing with that approach. And when they came back to it, and had some success in the third quarter, and actually they had success running out of 11 personnel because the score dictated that they'd not be in base personnel packages. At that point, the game flow had already happened. So even though Henry had some nice runs, I don't want to say they're meaningless, but it wasn't really part of the game plan and the game flow.
That's Greg Cosell on this week's episode of The Install. Anything catch your attention there? They played Titans football. This is an exact quote from Greg. You just heard it. They played Titans football. It just didn't work. Uh-oh. That's a problem. That ain't great, Chief. That's something that you look at in greater detail and say, okay, it wasn't an issue with what they were running that's different from last year. It's not necessarily a conversation about, okay, Arthur Smith to Todd Downing now. Todd Downing's the GOAT, not in the good way, and Arthur Smith is the GOAT in the good way, right? It's that they did the things that they were doing a year ago. Arizona just stopped it. And then you saw how quickly things spiraled out of control. You know who set the precedent for that?
The Ravens.
In this most recent January, in the postseason, where they played Titans football, it just didn't work. This is an overarching theme that we're going to come back to a couple of times, I'm certain, throughout the course of the season. They're at the point where there's enough of a book on them across, what, three seasons now and one game of Mike Vrabel, Tennessee Titans football, where everybody knows what they're going to do. Now, what's made them so impressive is everybody has known what they're going to do, but they haven't been able to stop it until January when the Ravens figured them out. Said, all right, we're going to stop it. Now try and beat us. And they couldn't. Arizona says, all right, we know what you want to do. We're going to stop it. Now try and beat us. And the Titans couldn't. This is the much more concerning theme. This is why when we talked about, prior to the season beginning, spending some time on who had the higher expectations or who was going to face more scrutiny, right, between Shane Bowen and Todd Downing as technically two in their first year full-time coordinators for the offense and the defense respectively. And everybody's got the heat for Shane Bowen, right? And we'll get to Shane Bowen here in just a second. Greg's analysis of that as well. But what I will say to you, is that with Shane Bowen, they can only get better. 615-737-1045 if you want to jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045 is the number. Shane Bowen, they were an utter catastrophe last year. So anything that they do well in 2021, gravy. Todd Downing's got to keep this thing from falling apart at the seams the way that it looked like it was starting to fray in the wild card round against Baltimore when they ultimately lost and put up their lowest scoring total of the 2020 season, 13 points. How many points did Titans score on Sunday, Lucas? Can you tell me? Can anybody guess?
Say it again. I was tracking down some audio.
All right. The answer is 13 points.
Okay.
615-737-1045. I put Lucas in a bad spot. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a second. Are you concerned about what you just heard? Greg Cosell saying that the result of Sunday was that the Titans played Titans football, and it simply didn't work. What adjustments need to be made? Now, you heard Greg say they had more success running the football later in that game because they started running out of 11 personnel, not base, not 12. Two tight ends, two wide receivers. They went three wide receiver sets. They spread the field out. They had more success running the football. That is something that the Titans are going to have to consider. Do you have to change who you are after so many years of doing it this particular way? Are they capable of doing that? One would think so. The question has been about, you know, is this Todd Downing's offense? How is it different from Arthur Smith's offense? On and on and on it goes. But we talked to Todd about this earlier in training camp. Hell, even prior to training camp beginning. I think this might have been pre-draft. Where Todd Downing says it's not the Todd Downing offense. It's the Tennessee Titans offense. And Todd Downing's calling the plays. Make it work for your personnel. And on Sunday, it did not. We'll take your reaction to that coming up next. We'll focus more on the defensive side of the football as well. Rich will lead us off. Rich and Joe, if you want to jump in on the phone lines, it's real easy. 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. The thrill, I don't know if it's gone. But there's nothing terribly thrilling about the Tennessee Titans right now. Can they shock the world in Seattle? As they so often do. This is what they exist to do, right? They have a game. They have a game with expectations. They have a game with hype. They crap out. Green Bay on Sunday Night Football comes to mind. Outside of the most recent example against Arizona. Then they'll turn around and shock somebody like the Kansas City Chiefs in the regular season in 2019. The New England Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens in that same season during that playoff run. They have had multiple instances. I mean, 2018, going back to the Marcus Mariota when the Eagles were the defending Super Bowl champions, that overtime touchdown pass. Like, they live to shock people, but they also live to disappoint. It seems when the moment is biggest and when the hype is at its greatest. So how can they avoid that on Sunday? How can they find a way to surprise everybody again? Because it's entirely possible that they come back from this trip 0-2 and facing their stiffest competition as far as the AFC South is concerned, a home game against the Indianapolis Colts, and a series that will be done by November the 1st, because for whatever reason, the NFL schedule makers had the Titans and the Colts playing two games before November started, where the division will basically be decided. So how can they find ways to change what went wrong? Because they played Titans football on Sunday, you've heard by all accounts, it just didn't work. 615-737-1045. We'll talk about the defense here in just a second, but Rich is in Nashville, and he wants to talk about the Titans offense. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Mr. Buck, my name's Rich. I'm from Ontario. I just came down here to some construction work. And I've never really been into football, so I got a question. I went to my first Titans game, and I was wondering if there's some kind of rule that the Titans were playing off of that made them run the ball when they were on offense for the first two plays, and then that big boy, Henry, he would come out, and then they put a littler guy in, and then it seemed like Tannehill would just get hit on that third play, and then the guy that kicks the ball would come in. So I was just wondering if there was a rule. A big fan of yours. My coworkers say, listen to Mr. Buck on 104.5 The Zone. And I just got so giddy talking the pre-call, so here I am. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for the call, Rich. Look at that. That was such a wholesome call.
There is a rule, yes.
What's the rule? That Derrick Henry exists?
Run twice, take him out, and Tannehill sacked. That's the rule, Rich. Welcome to Nashville.
Oh, we just summarized. And then the guy comes in and kicks the ball. That's right.
Got to follow the rules.
Titans football. No. I mean, it's a fair question. If you're watching a Titans game for the first time, you have no institutional knowledge of the Titans, their personnel, or what the hell is happening on the field, you would ask, yeah, the giant at running back, why does he run for the first two plays to no avail, and then they take the giant out, and they put the little guy in, and then the quarterback gets smoked. It's a great question. It's the predictability of the offense. So what Rich, to kind of simplify that, their offense is predicated off the run. When you have a player like Derrick Henry, your offense starts with the run. Their explosive plays, their plays where they can create bigger opportunities down the field in the passing game, they're predicated off of fooling the defense into thinking. This is the concept of play-action passing and run-action passing. When the defense thinks that you're going to hand the ball off, but the quarterback keeps it, rolls out, throws it down the field, but the defense sells out to stop the running back, that's what the Tennessee Titans are. That's what they do. But when it doesn't work, that's what it looks like. And then it's run twice with the big guy. Big guy doesn't do much. Little guy comes in on third down. Quarterback gets smoked. The other guy comes in to punt the ball. And not even well for Brett Kern on Sunday. He got disrupted. It was very bothersome. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Joe in Nashville who wants to weigh in. What's up, Joe?
How y'all doing?
We're great.
Hey, look, man, it's as a Titans fan, man, it's not that the fact that the Titans lose, it's how they lose. And if you go back to last year, I believe it was two games. I believe it was Cleveland and Cincinnati, where they had a very similar performance to what they did this past Sunday.
Oh, yes.
It seems like whatever that game plan that is, and I want y'all to answer the question for me. It just seems that our coaching staff can't adjust. If they have this game plan coming in during the week and it's not working, is it arrogance that is going to keep trying to pound it, or they're going to force feed it and make it work, or is it incompetence where it just seems like they just can't adjust during a game when the game plan doesn't work? And last but not least, I believe Tannehill is going to have an MVP-type season. He's going to have to throw the rock around the field, similar to what Dak Prescott did against Tampa Bay, to open up this Derrick Henry passing game. To just like when C.J. Chris Johnson, when he had those 2,000-year yards rushing years back, that next year teams were sold out on stopping the run. And it seems like the Titans, they're still going to try to keep that same old game plan and teams. We're playing the NFC West, which arguably is the best defense, four of the best defenses in the league. And if Arizona manhandled us, I think Seattle's going to be worse. So, you guys, off there.
Hey, thanks, Joe. 615-737-1045. So we'll pivot to the defensive side of the conversation here in just a second, because I do think this is important analysis, and Shane Bowen had to answer a question about a particular play that they gave up a touchdown off of that we'll talk about here in a second. But let's stick with the offense for now, because that's what most people seem to want to talk about. So to your point about the coaching staff's inability to adjust in-game, it seems. You know, and I'd be curious to know, Ramon Foster is actually in the chat on Zone TV. He's in YouTube. I don't know if he's trolling, if he's harassing people, or if he's just doing it out of genuine support.
Because he's supporting the homies.
Ramon is a great teammate. So for Ramon, I would be curious for him to answer us on Zone TV. Do halftime adjustments exist? Because I hear that they don't. I hear that they're just complete. They're just something that comes up as a part of a post-game press conference or something that coaches say to just kind of get through it, or players just say to get through it, and they don't actually exist. Like, there's not a speech at halftime. It's everybody going in at halftime, getting their fluids, getting an IV if they need it, and then trotting back out on the field to try and execute the game plan that they had better and adjusting, if anything, to the tendencies of the offense or the defense that they're currently playing against. I hear that halftime adjustments aren't a thing, and it's just something that's completely fabricated and something that's spoon-fed to us just to shut the media up, which I completely believe. And that it's just, you know, what's the word? It's a placebo a little bit. The idea of halftime adjustments and how much bigger of a difference it makes throughout the course of a game. So we'll see what Ramon has to say about that here in just a second on Zone TV. 615-737-1045. Alex Ray chimes in on YouTube. What up, Ramon? I like you more than Buck. I mean, I like Ramon more than I like me. 615-737-1045. It's true. Ramon says they do exist. Sometimes it's man-to-man, man-to-a-man, or position groups that have to be coached. All right. That's important. Let's go to Adam in Portland, who wants to talk about the Titans game plan.
So you want to know what's funny, Buck, is that I'm all right. So we go to the game, we get blown out.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there waiting like an hour and a half on an Uber, and I get home and I'm like, all right, I'm going to put this thing behind me. I cut on your page and you're shooting a show from the stadium, and I start having flashbacks of that game. It just stuck with me all week, man. And hopefully they figure out a completely different game plan than run, run, pass, because that's didn't work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work against Seattle. If you don't have something better than that, it's not going to work. It'll be the same thing, maybe worse. So hopefully they figure something else out this week, man.
Yeah, well, hopefully, Adam, I don't give you PTSD when I'm doing the A to Z Sports primetime show in the stadium in Seattle. That's the thing that I missed, honestly, the most about traveling to games, because we didn't do it last year during COVID, is I do my Sunday night primetime show during football season in the stadiums. So you have, you know, you'll have the Seattle Stadium as the backdrop on Sunday night, which I'm excited about. And hopefully I don't give many more people like I did Adam PTSD about the game that occurred on the field that day. But, yeah, Seattle, does it hurt Titans fans to know that Darryl Taylor? Because I always say it wrong. Darryl?
Mm-hmm.
Darryl Taylor, the defensive end from Tennessee, who I believe was a second round pick of the Seattle Seahawks. And he played a great game against Indy. He looked fantastic out there. And he's one of the new young pieces on that defensive front. For Seattle, the defense has kind of slacked off the last couple of years, but they looked a hell of a lot better than they have since basically they blew up the Legion of Boom from the Super Bowl runs. They looked fantastic on Sunday against Indy. So let's talk about Titans defense based off of that idea. Marcus Spears, who played at LSU in college, now is one of the pundits on national television for ESPN. He's on NFL Live on a regular basis. Marcus Spears had a segment that was devoted to the Titans' defense, and he was livid. Here's that audio.
Kyler Murray runs
Mighty Mouse.
Runs a I don't even know what you call it, D.O., but it's a fake zone, and it's a keeper, yeah. A QB keeper, and the end man
down in the red zone.
Yeah, the end man on the line of scrimmage. You know this. Mm-hmm. The end man on the line of scrimmage. Shoulders are turned towards the sideline.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Everything you learn about playing football on the end of the line is to keep square until it's an absolute close down to the ball.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, A.J. Green runs up the sideline. They're in zone. Yeah. They're in zone. And the DB bites on the underneath route and drops A.J. Green off, and it's a shot in the hole. You go cover zero in the red zone. I'm pissed off about this defense, y'all. You go cover three in the red zone with Kyler Murray. Cool. You want to pressure? You want to get the ball out of his hands? Cool. Tell your DB, don't run up on Christian Kirk and jam in zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just keep a little room. And
he
then
gonna run by you.
He gonna run by you. And then D-Hop, cover one, okay? You got Byard, a safety, covering DeAndre Hopkins in the slot. DeAndre Hopkins catch a quick pass, spin out, and score a touchdown.
You're talking about the touchdown, yeah.
Come on, man.
Pressure.
Like, so beyond getting beat, people can get beat. This the lead. Bro, competence. That defense was so undisciplined.
Well, and to Key's point,
that's Marcus Spears losing his mind about the Titans' defensive performance. One play in particular that he's talking about, that cover zero blitz concept. I'll give you the exact situation because it was all over Twitter yesterday. Greg Cosell and myself broke it down, and you'll hear Cosell on that here in just a second. It's second and five from the, I believe it's from the 18-yard line. It's an 18-yard or 17-yard touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins. Second and five, second quarter. It's DeAndre Hopkins' second touchdown of the game. They run a cover zero blitz concept with off-man coverage. Off-man coverage meaning that, like so many of you fear, based off last year, and it's a principle that they ran last year too, that the corners, the defensive backs, are playing 6-7 yards off the wide receiver, off the line of scrimmage, and that they're sending six while keeping five back to cover. And they gave up a touchdown. They did this against the Pittsburgh Steelers too, and multiple other teams, but the Steelers were one of the most egregious examples last season. Exact same concept, almost the exact same place on the field at Nissan Stadium. And Ben Roethlisberger throws a touchdown against the exact same defense. So I asked Cosell, hey, what the hell are they doing with this? Why do they continue to run it? And Greg had some trouble answering that question himself.
Well, on that particular play, it was actually empty. They went to empty
with Hopkins was in the inside slot to the twin side of the field, the two receiver side of the field, the boundary side, and Edmonds, the running back, was outside of him. And what happened is it's an interesting defensive concept that a number of teams use. It's not pure man, because you would not have Byard match up to Hopkins if it was pure man.
Yeah.
You'd have a corner match up to Hopkins, but the corner bounced outside when Edmonds was outside of Hopkins. So it's kind of a matchup off coverage, but it's not pure man. Now, there is no post safety in the middle of the field, so therefore it has a zero feel to it. I've talked about this with a guy that I've worked with for years on the matchup show, who's a former coach and scout, and we struggle with actually whether you want to call that zero man, because it's off coverage. It's not pure man the way a lot of teams play zero. Yet they did rush six, so therefore there's only five defenders to match up to the five receivers. But if it was true man, I do not believe they would have had Kevin Byard in their nickel playing on Hopkins man-to-man.
Yeah.
So it's some kind of matchup off coverage concept that's not pure man.
So Greg is saying it's this convoluted version of what man coverage is supposed to be. It's not pure man, and that's why you saw Byard hanging out on DeAndre Hopkins the way that he did, and of course, it's for a touchdown. It's a problem. Now, of all of the things that they did on defense and why Marcus Spears is so pissed off about it, because he doesn't understand it either in that particular situation. Now, Shane Bowen was asked about this not a half hour ago at the podium, and this was Shane Bowen's explanation of why they ran that concept when they did.
Yeah, that was the empty one, right, in the high red? Yeah, I think, when we game plan and we try to do some things, especially in regards to some of the empty formations, like, it's a fine line between do you show your hand or do you try to disguise with some other things we've been playing the empty throughout the game, right? Ideally, when you blitz zero, you want to be able to be tight. Hopefully, if they throw that one, we can come up and get it on the ground, right? But I think there's a fine line between always being there and showing your hand and then having the ability to also kind of complement that look and do some different things, right? And, I mean, second and five, I think that's a lot different than third and five, in my opinion, too. You know what I'm saying? And I think as it relates to the call, too, does that make sense, Paul? But it was one of those scenarios. We were off. We weren't really up in the line of scrimmage. We weren't really showing blitz zero out the jump, right? And then they ended up side adjusting, made a quick throw. We didn't get our hands up, and then we missed the tackle. So
fired him the right, like, spot on that play.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And then Hopkins made a play, right? Made a miss, and
the problem is Arizona knew what it was, that the confusion that they were trying to disguise or that they were trying to create, the Titans defense, it wasn't confusing to Arizona at all because they'd seen that Pittsburgh film too. They knew exactly what it was, and they did not the exact same route concepts to defeat it, because the Steelers don't have DeAndre Hopkins, but the Steelers were able to score a touchdown on that exact same blitz coverage disguise that the Titans ran, and the Cardinals had seen that film, and the Cardinals gave it to their best playmaker, and he made a play for a touchdown, his second of the day. There are going to be some serious adjustments that need to be made on both sides of the ball for the Tennessee Titans. The learning curve, you don't have time for it, because soon you're going to be into divisional play, into conference play. You are going to have these games against the NFC West count for something. If the Colts, now the Colts lost to the Seahawks, if you can get a win over the Seahawks that the Colts couldn't, put you in advantageous position. They mean less than the divisional games do, but not by much. You're playing a first-place schedule this year. It's been a while since the Titans have played a first-place schedule. And you're going to really feel it when you head west to Seattle to play the Seahawks on Sunday. If they don't make those adjustments, you're going to feel it even worse than you want to. 615-737-1045 is the number. We'll do the polls coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Oh, It's been such good music today, and it's only been two artists. The Reba McEntire story, by the way. Her being rescued by the fire department in Oklahoma from a collapsing building because she was out there taking a tour of a historic property that she probably shouldn't have been in, currently under renovation process. She goes up a staircase collapses. Reba has to got down by a fire truck. Thank God. A country music institute. I don't even like country music, and I love Reba. Oh, keep cranking up real quick. Woo! All right, we can get out of here. That's all I needed.
Does smack, though.
Oh, it slaps. So come on. B.B. King and Reba McEntire. That was so good all day long. If you enjoy any of the music that Lucas is producing, well, Lucas isn't producing it, but he's playing it, to bring me back in from commercial break, the Buck Rising Show playlist is available on Spotify. Lucas Cura. Do you know how many songs we're at? Do you know off the top of your head?
I just added that. It's Fancy by Reba. I just added it. It is the 171st song in there.
Okay, so quite an eclectic collection of musical choices for you to sample on the show's Spotify playlist. Speaking of things that at one time delighted and, you know, oftentimes need to be protected, Marcus Mariota, you see he got hurt.
Yes.
Monday Night Football. So yes. He comes in. It's all of one play. One snap on Monday night for the Las Vegas Raiders. He ran for 31 yards, and he aggravated his quadricep. Do you feel bad for Marcus?
Yes, I do.
I feel terrible for him.
Yeah, like I you don't need to have ill will for a guy because he didn't play well and got hurt.
Yeah, plenty of people do. But
I know.
I feel so bad for him because his body has betrayed him up and down, and it's constant. He's what? This is 6 years in the league and still with this, perpetually on the injury report. One play, a 31-yard run, quad injury.
And a good one. A little read option?
No, he got people fired up. Immediately the Titans Twitter exploded because Marcus, like last year, I think it was a Thursday night game against the Chargers. Everybody lost their damn mind because Carr got hurt and Mariota came in and played well. They lost, but he played well. And now, back on the injury report, according to Ian Rappaport, he will miss multiple weeks. Polls.
All right, Dan. I reckon I'll talk about a poll update. This is Carl Childers. There's a young feller. I think he's got the final numbers. Here's the producer of the Buck Rising Show. A feller named Lucas Panzeker. Got any mustard and biscuits?
That one makes me laugh every time. It's the weirdest one. I thought that was Rhett grunting. Mustard and biscuits.
Mustard and biscuits. Spencer gives us an 8-7 today.
That's a career high.
That is a career high.
We had a great show. I don't know if it... Do you think today has been our best show?
It's one of them, and he gave us the highlights. It highlights me saying, I too can run when talking about Harrison Bailey, and Rick's call was awesome. The pot was stirred all day in the chat, and shout out B.B. King.
It's a great show. What do we got?
Who starts for the Vols at quarterback on Saturday, Hendon Hooker or Joe Milton? 58% say it's Hooker.
That's wishful thinking, I feel.
I don't know. It depends on health. I mean, if Milton's not 100%, it's going to be Hooker, and that's his opportunity.
And if Milton's not 100%, it gives the coaching staff the excuse to make that move without too much noise around it, because the injury is the justification.
What is the Titans' offensive identity? Puka says we don't know yet, which is frightening itself, followed up by a gif of the Twilight Zone. Devin says all 22 players must be inside the hashes at all times. I knew people were going to be bitter about this. Derek said they don't know yet. The starting group didn't get enough reps yet to figure out what would be best. I would like us to be a multiple offense, meaning some games we pass more, some we run more. The whole point of getting Julio is to have an answer for when Henry struggles.
Yeah, and they didn't. They just, I mean, he dropped balls. He dropped passes. Now, some of them, there were two that were particularly egregious. And one that was well over his head, it would have been a spectacular play. But Julio Jones is there for spectacular plays, not just consistency. And both of those things were lacking on Sunday. 3 catches, 29 yards, not the Julio effect.
And there were several replies on this, but Oscar says, run the ball every flipping time on first down. Everybody in the universe knows we're going to run the ball on first down every drive. Got to change it up. Stop taking Henry out on third downs.
I mean, you take Henry out on third downs because he's not a threat in the passing game, even though that was, by the way, if anybody had the first pass of the Tennessee Titans 2021 season being completed to Derrick Henry for 3 yards,
congratulations.
God bless you for all the money that you won, because that was the upset of the game.
Do you feel bad for Marcus Mariota? 62% say yes.
I do. I really do. I know most fans won't. They don't care because he's not their quarterback anymore, but just on a human level, like I feel terrible for him. And it's just, you know, he's my age and his body is failing him.
Should Reba McEntire be protected at all costs? 63% say yes, 37% say no.
Whoa. What?
Just to get a glimpse into maybe the people that voted no, Cousin Kate in reply says no. Hashtag petty, hashtag for the fam. They have infiltrated the polls once again.
Okay, well, shoot them into the sun and kill that with fire, because the people that do not want to protect Reba McEntire at all costs, all of you can sit on it and spin.
Last one, and this one hit a nerve for people. We got about 900 votes, and we posted it about halfway through the show. What's a worse idea, giving a little kid a dog for Christmas just because they asked for it, or getting a dog with a boyfriend/girlfriend? 76% say boyfriend/girlfriend. I think that's the case, because even if the kid doesn't take care of the dog, which you should totally expect going in, I guess the parents could take care of the dog. So don't get a kid a dog unless you want a dog. But a boyfriend/girlfriend getting a dog without knowing you're going to be married is idiotic. It's going to end in failure just about 90% of the time.
It's not the reason why, because Daryl wants a dog, and I refuse.
That's in the J. Martin Ramone says, Buck, hashtag get her a puppy.
Yeah, well, it's not happening. That's not the primary reason. The primary reason is because I travel during football season, and the dog isn't going to live with her. It's going to live with me, because I'm the one with a fenced-in yard. So it's not a situation, but like, well, she takes care of the cats when I'm on the road trips, but the dog in there presents a different kind of complication, because you have to be with the dog. The cats don't want you there. They just want you to leave the food and get the hell out. That's the best part of cats.
It's awesome. Puka brought receipts on this. She linked in the tweet of you quoting Dara when her and I conspired to get your picture up on the Jumbotron of a Nashville SC game on your birthday. And she said, if I don't get a puppy after this, and you said, I love this woman. So Puka just sending you a quick reminder of that.
You know, that is a betrayal. I expect better from our audience. I expect better from Puka.
No, Puka plays it fair. Puka's going to send receipts no matter what. She's not biased. That's what I appreciate about Puka. She's going to tell us like it is.
Yeah, but why is it always to the detriment of me?
It does seem to be that way.
It's always to the detriment of me. That's not fair. That's crap. Are those the polls?
Jennifer says, never, ever give a kid that doesn't live under your roof a pet, and only give a pet as a gift if you want the pet as well. Too many variants involved on option two for a blanket opinion.
I think that's when I started not. I mean, no, that's not why I didn't. I don't. And it's not that I don't like dogs. I just don't, have any use for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they require too much of me. Somebody who is already on the fence about time spent on said dog.
Great way to end the show. Remind people that you're not a dog guy.
I mean, what are you going to do? I tweeted a picture of Frank, my cat, last night. A queen. That's where we will stay. Because somebody needs to be self-sufficient when daddy goes to Seattle over the weekend. And it sure as hell ain't going to be the dog. Plain and Mickey, up next.